Amen. Alrighty. Before we get started, has anybody got anything you want to say, want to thank the Lord for something? Just want to thank the Lord.
It's been so good today. I just came back in my nut. Oh, his goodness and his mercy. He always comes through.
He does that.
He's not, but he does.
Yes.
He does.
I thank him for saving me. I thank him for my family. All the many blessings he's bestowed upon me. Thank him.
Amen.
Came back in my nut.
Anybody else? Anyone else? It's good. Anybody else?
Lord, for saving me. It's been good to have been wonderful family.
Yep.
They put up with me, I guess, kind of like y'all put up with me. Thankful.
Amen. Anybody else? No. Y'all are right. If we just really started just thanking him right now, each one of us, did you realize that we wouldn't even have a services that like we've had? Really, if we just thank him enough. I mean, we wouldn't have to worry about having no singing. Wouldn't have to worry about having no preaching. I do. I thank him every day. I thank the Lord for my wife. Just put up with me for about, sometimes it seemed like 100 years, but if it hasn't been, if it has been 100, I thank him for putting up with me that long. And I thank the Lord for my daughter. I really don't know what I don't know what I could do if it wasn't for my wife and my daughter. Because they're the one that keeps me straight here on earth. Right. And I, you know, I mean, I hate to, you know, I mean, I hate to give them that choice, but I know what they've done. They've allowed the Lord to help them. And I'm sorry that I put that kind of a burden on the Lord. But, you know, but I do thank him.
It's for his own good.
I know that. I know that, but I still want to give you a hard time, and we, you know, it's, you know, it's good. It's just good to be able to thank him. It's just good to be able to be yourself. You know, really, I mean, a Christian, if a Christian is being their self, that's what he's meant for us to do, is to be ourself. Not to be some phony, is to be ourself. And plus, I want to thank the Lord for you that are here, this church. Thank the Lord for you putting up with me. I know that there are some days that I say that, and I don't say it lightly, but I do say it in a way to where the Lord knows where I'm coming from. He does, anyhow, but still, he wants us to come to him. But the Lord knows how much I love this church. He knows how much I love each and every one of you. And not just you, I love your families also. Some of them I don't even know your family members, but I love them. I really do. And if you're not in church, that is my prayer. That is my prayer, that they'll get in church. If they're not saved, that they'll turn their life over to Jesus. Allow him to save the soul. And allow him to do a work in their heart like has never been done before. Oh me. Turn to the book of Psalms, chapter 26. Psalms chapter 26. It's number 12 verses, we're gonna read them all. Well, just listen to what the psalmist David is saying. And he's saying it because the Lord has touched him. And this is the things that the Lord wants him to say, not only to Israel back then, but I believe the Lord had asked him to pen these writings down to where it could be revealed unto us today. Because the Word of God is just as fresh as a morning dew. It's nothing in here that we cannot get out of it. It's a whole lot in here. But it says right here in the book of Psalms, chapter 26 and verse 1, it says, "Judge me, O Lord, for I have walked in my integrity. I have trusted also in the Lord. Therefore, I shall not slide. Examine me, O Lord, and prove me. Try me. Reign in my heart, For thy loving kindness is before mine eyes, and I have walked in thy truth. I have not sat with vain persons, neither will I go in with the disassembled. I have hated the congregation of evildoers, and I will not sit with the wicked. I will wash my hand in innocence. So will I compass thee, compass thy altar, O Lord, that I may publish with the voice of thanksgiving and tell of all that wondrous work. Lord, I have loved thee, inhabitation of thy house, and the place where thine honor dwelleth. Gather not my soul with sinners, nor my life with bloody men, in whose hand is mischief, and thy right hand is full of bribes. But as for me, I will walk in my integrity. Redeem me and be merciful unto me. My foot standeth in an even place. In the congregation will I bless the Lord. The psalmist David right here, I believe, is trying to teach us some things. He's trying to reveal unto us, before the Lord can do anything for us, so it says right here in the last verse, my foot standeth in an even place. In the congregation will I bless the Lord. We'll see where David right here is giving out the suggestion he's giving out to men of that day and that time period. And I believe he's also giving tonight to the time that we're in today. That before we can go out and do things the way the Lord wants them done, we've got to bless the Lord. How do we bless the Lord? First of all, I believe when it says up there in verse 1, it says, judge me, O Lord, for I have walked in mine integrity. I have trusted also in the Lord. Therefore, I will not slide. And here it is in verse 2. Examine me, O Lord. I believe right here what the psalmist David is telling us, that we must examine ourselves. We must look and we must see in which way we're walking. And we must hear any things that we speak about. And we must hear the things that will perk our ears up. And we must walk into the places to where God will be pleased with. And you know, I don't do it every morning, but some mornings when I'm praying, I ask the Lord to touch my eyesight, that I may see the beauty that He has created for this day, and that I may hear the chirping of the birds, that I may hear the different sounds that he's allowed for each one of us to be able to hear. And during the night, last night, this morning, probably by 3 o'clock, I mean, it was thundering and it was lightning. But can you imagine not hearing that? Just seeing flashes go by, but not hearing what is behind the flashes. And also the sweet rain, the sweet sound of the rain that we can hear. Now, I know that the Lord blesses us in so many different ways. But you know, there's a song where it says, count your many blessings, name them one by one. I believe we can take that song and we can take that song and relate it to the showers that's coming down, the raindrops. Because each raindrop is different. Just like the snowflakes, when they come down, each snowflake is different. Each blessing that God gives out to me and to you are different. But they are a blessing from Almighty God. Why is it that way? It's because, first of all, we bless Him. And I believe in a way that we bless Him is recognizing who He is. And recognizing in whom we serve. Examine me, O Lord. And prove me. Try my ruins and my heart. For thy loving kindness is before mine eyes. And I have walked in thy truth. I have not sat down with vain persons. Neither will I go in with the disassembled. In other words, what he's saying, he says, I'm not going to go out here and I'm not going to walk into the places that I don't need to walk into. Where it says over there, I forgot exactly what chapter, what verse, and what book it's in, but it tells us that when we go into someone's house or when we go into a place of business, and when we go in there and then the abuse goes on and they know that we're Christian, and then they abuse us. We haven't done nothing to them. And they'll curse us out. And they'll say, well, you ain't got no business coming here. I don't know if you've ever faced that. I don't know if you've ever been told that when you went and visited somebody at the house. But the good book, the Bible, the Word of God says that we need to turn around from that house. And we must walk out of the door. And as soon as we step on God's given rights and what God has established for us to be able to see and to be able to walk upon and be able to hear, that we must turn around. Dust off our feet. Who are we dusting off? We're dusting off the individual. We're dusting off the sin that the individual has. And I know that they're sinners. They know that they're sinners. I don't have to go into somebody's house and tell them that they're going to hell.
They know if they're going to hell or not. I don't have to tell them. But I do recognize one thing. That when I go and visit somebody, and if I go into their home and visit with them, I should not belittle them. I should not correct them of what they're doing. I should not tell them, well, you know, it ain't good for you to be drinking that liquor over there. Ain't good for you to be drinking that beer over there. It ain't good for you to have the ungodly magazines around. That's not my place to tell them that. Why? Because I'm among them. I'm on thy property. And if I went in and told them all of that, do you think I would ever have a chance in winning them to the Lord? Would I ever have a chance in trying to get them under the sound of the gospel? You think I ever would have a chance in getting to know them and them getting to know me? No, because they wouldn't want to speak to me again. I am in their castle. When you're in somebody else's home, you do not go against anything that they do. You're in their home. Some people say, well, that's not really being a Christian. If you're going to go do that, and you know what they're doing is wrong. Hey, I know what they're doing is wrong. They know what they're doing is wrong. They don't know how to do right. They don't know any other way to do it and the way they need to do it. They need to have a friend that they can call a friend that cares about them, that cares about their soul. I don't need to go in and examine them. I don't need to go in there. And just the first thing I need to do, I need to go in and sit in a chair and start speaking to them, and then allow my eyes and my head and everything about me just turn around and look, trying to see what I can see. I didn't come out to do that. I didn't come out to see what they got laying out. I didn't come out to see this and see that. I came there for one purpose and one purpose only, to see them. And allow them to experience something that they've never experienced before. That somebody else cares for them. And I do. That's one thing I would. If people would just get their mind off of everything else. Come to the house of God. If you're not saved, then get saved. And they would not believe how their life would turn around. Everything that was going wrong before, now it's going right. Hey, I ain't found it nowhere in God's Word. In the good book says, I ain't found nowhere in there. It says that if you get saved and if you accept me as your Savior, from this day forward, you're going to be sitting in heavenly places. You're going to be out there setting upon the roses. Everything is going to go fine. You're not going to have no heartaches. You're not going to have no headaches. You're not going to have this and you're not going to have that.
But the reason we have the things that hinder us is because we dwell upon them things. We dwell too much on things and don't dwell enough on the Lord. Examine me, O Lord. Hey, I know what I'm like. And I'm not much of a Christian. According to God's word, see, God knows that. But sometimes God just wants us to come and tell Him what's wrong with us. You say, well, why are you going to tell that? God knows, already knows that He does. But sometimes God just wants us to say it. That's just like when I got saved. What did He say in His word? That I must come to Him. I must confess that He is the Lord of lords and the King of kings. That He went to Calvary. That He gave His every drop. He gave every speck of blood that He had for my soul. He gave it all for me. Why did He do that? Because of His love. And He's asking me and He's asking you that we must go out here and we must show the same type of love to other people, even though that we will not and we cannot give our life like He did. He gave His life in such a way that no man could ever give His life. The only thing that we can do, we can use the word, and sometimes we don't want to say it, but we can use that word perfect. And what the word perfect means in God's word is maturity. We are maturing in the Lord. We are growing in the grace of His love. We're growing every day. I was listening one day this week to a preacher on TV, and he said this. He said, no matter what I say, no matter what I do, if it's not done because of Christ, what I done was in vain. Hey, if He is not the reason that we're going to do things, and if He's not the reason that we're going to go out here and work, and if He's not the reason we don't come up here and get to the altar and pray, and if we don't realize that it's Him that we come to the altar and we pray for our family, it's Him because we come and pray. It's Him because we go out and visit. It's Him. Is because what we do. It's all about Him. Hey, I know I'm going to heaven. It ain't nothing about me. Ain't nothing about me. Hey, I know I'm going to heaven. But the individual that I meet up out here, do I know their heart? No. Do I know your heart? No. The only heart that I know is my own. And my prayers every day, there was some way that I could allow just a piece of my heart upon the people into the desire that I want him to be. Hey, I want them to be successful. I want them to be able to have a good job where they can provide for their families. I want them to have a nice home where the families can come in and they can call it a home. Not just going to the house. A whole lot of people use that word. I'm going to the house now. I'm going home. What's the difference? Going to the house. You're going out just to go there for a little while. But when you're going home, it's something about the word home. When we go on this vacation, and I mean, I know probably Sister Nancy could vouch for me on that. When you was out and you was away from home, visiting or on vacation just to have a little time to yourself, you're so glad to get back home. Why? There's something special about home. There's nothing special about the house. The only difference that there is, that house is built with wood, with electrical wire, with lamps, with carpet, with the laminating floors. That's what's in the house. But when it becomes a home, it's where our heart is at. When our heart is right with our family, we can call it home. When our heart is right with the Lord Jesus Christ, then we can say, I'm going home one day. I'm not going to the house. I'm going home. I mean, you know, and these people say, well, I'm going to heaven. I'm going to be up there with the big man. I'm going to be up there with the one that knows it all, and I'm going to be up there with him and everything. Hey, we need to give God more respect than we do. We don't respect God. And if you don't respect God, you don't respect the house of God. How can we make this a home here? We can all make it a home. If we're woven together. If we're woven together, and if we get down to where the last individual's at, there's something missing. Or we got some sin or something in our life. It's like the carpet here on the other side. Yeah, it looks good all the way. Till you get in it about 3 or 4 or 5 inches from the end. And you see the strain. You see where the carpet has been pulled apart. And is that carpet being pulled apart, what is it doing? It's bringing pressure to the rest of the carpet. When we are put in situations, it puts pressure on everyone else. We should never come in here with any kind of pressure on us. You know, I've always, in my
Ever since I've been a Christian, I've always had a desire to do a little more for God than what I have. And I love singing. I love hearing gospel music. I love to hear the songs that's in the hymn book. I love to hear the song of old. Why? Because they have a meaning to it. They have a meaning to it. They tell me about the blood. They tell me about that home that we're going to have in heaven. Just like the Bible does. See, everybody, they don't understand what the word home means. But it says right here, in God's Word, I mean, I know what it says. It says, in my Father's house are many mansions. Yes, there starts out to be a house. Just like the 465 Jenny Lane, when they was building our house back in 73, we would go by there just about every day or every couple of days, and we'd look. We'd walk in and we'd see how much they've got done. But it was a house. It's all it was. Because it was empty. But boy, when they drove the last nail, when they turned the keys over to us, said, now, welcome home. This is your home now. It became a home. Why? Because me and my wife went into the house. It became a home. Why? Because of our love toward each other. And then finally, it really did become a home when we accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. We knew what love was all about then. And I thank the Lord for that. I thank the Lord for every day that He's given me with my wife. Even though it was 10 years, almost 10 years there, that we didn't have the Lord in our marriage. It hasn't been a bed of roses. Being a Christian hadn't been a bed of roses. But it's something that we can strive to mature in. How can we strive to mature at it? I tell you what we done. And the way we had to do it, we had to get in church. We had to get in church, and we just didn't go to preaching. And we just didn't go on Sunday morning and Sunday night. We was there on Sunday morning for Sunday school, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. And if they ended up having revival, we'd be there every night. I wanted to be there. That's what I wanted. That's what I wanted for me. That's what I wanted for my family. For us to be there. So what was I doing? I was examining my own life. I was examining my family's life. It's better for us to examine ourselves than for God to examine us. Because if God examines me, and I don't ever examine my life as a Christian, then He's going to say, well, son,
this is going to hurt me more than it hurt you. Where have we heard that before? From our children? We've said it also ourselves when our parents would come in. Well, we've been out here and misbehaved. And when we'd go out there and we'd just do something just to think we could get by with it. Then our parents would come in and they'd hear about it. They said, son, daughter, this is going to hurt me more than it does you. And how many has come back and said and thought about it, said, how can it hurt you more than it does me? I have the one that has the red stripes on my body. Nobody hits you. But I realized later on in life where it hurt our parents and where it hurts us today, it hurts us in our heart. See, that's where the love comes from. It's from our heart. The love don't come from this flesh that we have. It comes from our heart. And you know, we that are parents, if we've ever heard our children say that, how can it hurt you more than it does me? When I'm the one that took the stripes, think about it. Think about it. That's just like the Lord Jesus Christ. He's a son. He says, I know what you said. You said, it hurts me. It hurts me down to the core. He says, you did not take the stripes that I took for you. See, he's turned it around. But when we do something like that, we ended up being but a parent, but a human being, but all the way around. Why? Because we done it, and at a time we weren't thinking about the Bible. See, God allows his word to come through us in a way where we don't realize it. What did he say? Spoil the child? We're supposed to go ahead and spoil them, right? We're supposed to have that six-year-old child with about maybe 2.5, maybe almost 3 foot tall. Probably weighs 45, maybe 50 pounds. Then here I am. I weigh little over 200 pounds. And I'm here at 5 foot. 8 or 5 foot 9. And I can, and when a parent comes back and they say, I can't do nothing with it. I can't do nothing with them. How many have heard that? How many has heard that from somebody else? That I cannot do anything with them. The reason they can't do anything with them is because they allowed it to start at birth. Mm-hmm.
And as a child gets older, the more and more the parents give in to them. They have to. Why? Because they allow it to happen. Spare the rod, spoil the child. Spare the belt. Spoil the child. That's what it is today. We don't want to correct the children. We don't want to even say anything at all to our daughters and our sons that is the parent of the children. We don't want to say anything to them because we know if we do that we're going to get a tongue lash. So you can't say that about them. You cannot correct them. You may be right. I can't correct them. But I don't have to allow them to come in my house and do the things that some of them do. Come in and just start running and everything, and tearing everything up.
I know that people say it, and I've heard them say it. I know if you've heard other people say it. Even myself, I have said it in the past. That we can't understand what happened to our children. We can't understand what really happened to our children, because at one time, if we said anything to them, if we said something to them about going to church, that they were going to get in the car, come on to church. Not today. It's not the child's fault. It's not the other church's fault. That his idea that's giving them these lullaby messages where we'll just tickle the ears and soothe the conscience for a little while. It didn't start with them. Where did it start at? It didn't start with Jesus. Where did it start? It started at home. That's where it started at. It started at home. Because we didn't want to hurt the child's feelings. But how many of the day where the parents has really been hurt when they would get that knock on the door? They get that knock on the door. They wouldn't know who it would be on the other side of the door. And they go open that door. The individual that's standing on the other side of the door is an individual with a uniform on. The police officer or the state troopers. And when they do, and when we see that, naturally it goes through our mind. What's happened? What's happened?
We need to do everything we can to get these young people. The parents today are not going to do anything. I haven't seen that. That's a testimony in itself. But we can do something. We can do our part. If we know the individuals, if we know the child, if we know the family, if we know the mother and the father, and yes, we know them, we do have something we can do about it. We can come and get on the altar. Pray that God will do what it takes for him to be able to get in touch with them. Sometimes we just want to pray and pray. We just say, well, Lord, you know, my brother, David, he's lost. And I'd love for him to be saved. Would you just save him? I think we need to get back to his. Say, Lord, I have a brother, the youngest brother, and his name is David William Mayhem. Lord, he's lost. He's a good boy. He will do anything he can for me, my family, or anybody else. He will give them the shirt off of my back. But Lord, I'm not asking for the shirt off of my back. I'm asking you for right now to do what you have to do to get him to realize that he's lost. Save his soul. And I know if we pray like that, I believe God mean business also. But we got to mean business too. If that's the only way that I can be able to pray for my brother, then that's what I need to do. Hey, and it shouldn't, and I shouldn't even have no thought about it afterwards. So you know, I shouldn't have prayed like that. Because the Lord may just take him, put him on his knees, and may put him in the hospital somewhere. Hey, this brother, for him to go to the hospital, for the Lord to allow him to lay on his back, where he can't do nothing else but look straight up. It's better for him to have to do something like that than to not do nothing at all and then die and go to heaven. Our Father, we want to thank you, Lord, for this day. Now, God, I pray, Father, that you will give each one of us a heart for the lost individual of you, Lord. Father, that they may come to know Jesus. Lord, in whatever way you have to speak to their heart. Father, in any way at all that you would, things that you have to do. Father, we do know, Lord Jesus, it's not easy. Not a bed of roses. But I promise them that it would get better. And them serving the Lord, if they would just accept Jesus, they will be more of a happy individual. Yes, they say they're happy now, but they're not really truly happy. So, Father, we pray, Lord Jesus, for them. The Lord, that you may do what you have to do.
And Father, for the other individuals that are saved, that sees no place or no desire to be in thy hands. Lord Jesus, we just pray, Father God, that you will speak to them in such a way that they cannot get no peace. They cannot get no rest until they come back and apologize to you, and Lord Jesus, and ask you to help them to get back in church, to help them to follow you more. Lord Jesus, whatever it takes, Lord. Father, I'm like Jesus, man. I'm like you, Father. I don't want to see no one die and go to hell. But Lord, we do know that there are going to be people that's going to die and go to hell because of thy non-commitment to thee and thy non-trust in thee. Father, we ask, Lord, that you can go with us. The remainder of this day and into tomorrow, the 4th of July. The freedom that we have. Father, I thank you for that freedom. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that I live in a country that right now that we can assemble together in thy hand. Father, I just do not believe it's going to be much longer for you to come back. Father, if you do not come back very soon, Lord, we may be worshiping you and singing and praying to you, God, in someone's home that has a basement. Father, I don't believe that we're going to be able to even be in someone's home and be able to be upstairs. Why? Because when we sing, when we pray, that we know that, Lord, that people will hear us. And Father, we're going to be at the point that we don't want nobody to hear us, Father. And that's because of the way this land has gotten. It's nothing wrong with the world as a whole, Father. But it is something wrong with thy people. We pray, Father, that revival can start here in my heart. Lord Jesus, we may do the things that you asked us to do, and Father, we will never be ashamed of it. Lord, I thank you. Oh God, I pray, Lord, you would help us this week. Father, help us that we may be the witness to our family tomorrow, Father, as we gather. And Father, as we assemble with our families, Lord, because of the 4th of July, they don't know anything about what freedom is really about. Father, we do. Lord, I pray, Father, you'll help them. Help each one of the individuals here to share the good news, the gospel, unto someone this week. Father, we pray, Lord Jesus, that we will have visitors Wednesday evening, Father. Father, we have visitors come Sunday. Lord, that we're just not here just to keep the doors open. But Father, we're here where people can come in and where people can hear the gospel through the testimony of the people and through the fellowship
of each one. Lord, thank you for what you're going to do. We're going to give you the praise, the glory, and the honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Amen.